Hello, everyone, and welcome to an exciting episode of the Canadian PodCal. I'm here in Newfoundland with my co-host, Andrew Campbell.
It's great to be here, Sarah, although I thought all of our episodes were exciting episodes.
I know. I'm just sounding super excited because this episode is with Starbucks.
It's true. We've got Starbucks Canada because they've been here today and they were one of the things. In fact, you led the discussion on stage with Juliana and Ross, who we'll introduce in a second. But it was one of those where we talk about what sustainability looks like in their business as well in ours, and to talk about the partnerships that we've developed with them.
Yeah, it's definitely some very exciting things they're doing together with Dairy Farmers of Canada and the Blue Cow. So we'll jump right into it.
Our next guest comes from Starbucks Canada. We've got Juliana de Vanderschuren, the leader of Starbucks Canada's Sustainable Dairy Program. Obviously, you have to be at Dairy Farmers of Canada if you're the Sustainable Dairy Program Manager and Food Sourcing Manager as well. Great to have you, Juliana.
Thank you so much. Very excited to be here.
And we've got Ross Anderson, also Starbucks Canada. You're the Head of Sustainability, Social Impact, and Public Policy. Great to have you, Ross.
Yeah, this is really enjoyable. Thanks for having us.
So now, you talked a lot today about, you know, what this program looks like with Starbucks and Dairy Farmers of Canada. Juliana, let's start with you in terms of just lay this out for everybody. What does this partnership with Starbucks and DFC look like?
Yeah, definitely. So Starbucks made a commitment to reduce our carbon waste and water, and we knew that we had to develop a regional program very specific to Canada. Every region in our global network has a specific dairy way of working, and we knew in Canada we had to really create something for Canada that worked for Canada. And we took, early on, we took time to figure out who the right stakeholders were in Canada and their sustainability goals and how they aligned with Starbucks. That very obviously led us to Dairy Farmers of Canada for a few reasons. One is the shared sustainability goals. This is so important. We have that North Star to really guide us on decision making, to really ensure that we have the same ideas and objectives that we're trying to accomplish here in our partnership together. Secondly is the expertise. So Ross had shared a little bit today that we've done work globally, a lot in the US, some in Asia, some in Europe, to accelerate sustainability on farms with Starbucks. And one thing we don't have is the expertise specific to Canada. So working with Dairy Farmers of Canada, where they can help us navigate the Canadian dairy industry, tell us what works, but also importantly, what doesn't work in Canada, because a lot of stuff that works globally is just not the right fit for the Canadian market. And so working together in that regard. And then lastly is the national focus. So we serve Canadian milk in cups across Canada. We're serving it from coast to coast, and we wanted to target on-farm emissions for across Canada, not just focus on a specific province, a specific region, or a specific cluster of farms. One thing we've learned in our coffee practices and some of the sustainability work we've done with our coffee farmers is that farmers talk to each other. I mean, I think every farmer knows this. You talk to each other, you share information, you share knowledge. And by working with a national organization, we're maximizing the ability for farmers to learn about sustainability, to figure out the best practices, to understand what works for them and their unique fit for their farm. You know, ultimately, we want to do good on farms. And one of my favorite phrases and favorite ways of thinking about how we're approaching this is that the tide lifts all boats. So we are not just trying to lift the Starbucks boat. We're not just trying to lift, you know, this person's boat or that farm's boat. By investing into the whole of Canada, we're lifting every boat and just ensuring that Canadians across Canada have access to sustainable dairy.
So that's definitely a term that we're familiar with working in the dairy system, where coast to coast, we've got farmers involved all over the place who, again, mutually benefit from these positive changes. And Ross, when we were listening to you speak, you talked about how Starbucks has a long history of working with farmers, and it's not the only type of farmers that are contributing to your business as dairy farmers. You've got coffee farmers, you've got all kinds of other types feeding into your system. So you know that while most farmers want to be more sustainable, they also need to be fiscally responsible with their own businesses at home. I'm curious what you would say to farmers who are concerned about the costs of implementing practices that reduce their carbon footprint, or how they can navigate those waters as they're trying to just keep their home businesses profitable.
Yeah, it's definitely a challenge, and I'd say we sympathize. We face the same challenge at Starbucks Canada. We've set really aspirational goals, as Juliana has mentioned, to reduce waste, water, and our carbon emissions. But we're constantly challenged by trying to invest in the strategies that will reach those 2030 goals. And at the same time, perform in the stores the way we need to perform and serve our customers the way we need to serve our customers and invest in the business. And that challenge is longstanding. We have worked with farmers in the coffee industry to address climate change for over 20 years. And we've invested in farmer support centers around the world to help coffee farms generally, not just suppliers to Starbucks, but coffee farms generally, get better at both being economically viable, better business practices, more efficient practices, as well as be more sustainable. And that balance is something that we know is difficult and we're constantly working to evolve. I think the main message is it's not completely worked out. We don't know what the most impactful measures are for individual farms, and it can change farm to farm what makes the most sense for them. But we do know that there are some cases where it does improve both the business and sustainability. And we're encouraging, let's start there. Let's focus on a few measures that we're comfortable, serve the business, and address the sustainability and try and grow together. And we want to just help the DFC through incentives and encouragement where we can to spread the word around those practices.
And that goes really well with what you talked about, Julianne, in terms of kind of raising all boats, trying to work together to build on that. In the April announcement you made with DFC, there were three sustainability-focused projects for the year. Can you walk us through what those specific are and how they do go to achieve kind of both your goals and ours as dairy farmers?
Yeah, definitely. So I'm very excited about the work that we are doing with Dairy Farmers of Canada. It has been a long labor of love. I was talking to somebody earlier today, and I think we've been working with DFC in conversation for almost 3 years. And just this year, we're able to put some pen to paper and make commitments and see something come to life. The time before that, we were really learning and listening and collaborating and just making sure we were developing something for Canada. So what I can share at a very high level for the programs is that we're supporting DFC in a lot of the initiatives that they already had underway and just continuing to accelerate that. So that shows up in three areas. The first one is benchmarking. So at a very high level, what that means is we have ProAction, and there are other sort of programs or standards in place that are developed. So benchmarking ProAction against those, Starbucks has provided some additional funding to support that work, to just highlight where ProAction meets some of these standards or potentially where it doesn't, just for awareness. Secondly, we have the on-farm program that is being led by DFC. So again, another initiative that DFC undertook. It's running a greenhouse gas program on farms to understand emissions. So we're very excited to be able to compensate farmers for the time and energy that they're putting in for those that are going to be part of this pilot program. It's going to be a pilot program. It's going to be an opportunity for learning. It's not necessarily going to be smooth. And we really want to make sure that farmers are appreciated and compensated for the time that they're investing into learning and developing for all of Canada. And then thirdly, we have the Farm Credit Canada program, and this one I'm very, very excited about, mostly because it's going to put dollars right in the pockets of farmers that are already doing sustainable practices. So Farm Credit Canada, they have the program where if you're a customer of FCC, you can apply depending on, and your eligibility will be dependent on your herd sustainability index and your ProAction environmental module score. So you can, through FCC, you can get up to $2,000. Starbucks is very excited to contribute on top of that. So it'll be up to $2,000 additionally from Starbucks, $1,000 for most improved, and $1,000 for top achievers. We really wanted to target both most improved and top achievers for that. Because it looks at it very holistically rather than just those that are already doing it well, we're celebrating them, and then those that are putting the effort in to make change and continue to develop. So in terms of what's next, we are going to see the program close at the end of the year. So if you are listening and you are eligible, please apply because there is money on the table for you. The program closes at the end of the year, and the Starbucks incentives will be awarded in the beginning of 2025.
That's very unique for a corporate citizen in Canada to put money through a program like that. Like that, I can't think of another one that would do that. Nothing comes to mind. Why Why do that? What brings on the idea to move forward with that, where you're actually, you actually are saying, no, this is so important, we're going to contribute dollars to you that is down the chain?
Yeah, so there is all, so first of all, we worked very closely with DFC in collaboration to understand where this, where the right place for us to play is in this. And one thing that they said is that, you know, sustainability is not always it's expensive. It's not necessarily the most cost effective. So this really rewards those farmers that are doing that. And one thing that I really love is this is happening right now. This is encouraging and rewarding those farmers today for the work that they're already doing. And like I said, it's top achievers. So we're not, we're including people that have done this for a long time and have those really great results. We're also encouraging people that are new to sustainability, that want to pick this up, that want to implement on farms and are seeing big change. We're rewarding them as well, because that work is, I mean, arguably more important to where we see the change going and happening. So it's really just, you know, right at the farm level. Those, we talked a little bit yesterday about the scope 3 emissions. So really targeting those scope 3 emissions, which is within our kind of global portfolio of emissions that we would look at.
Can I add to Juliana's answer? Just to run the parallel with, as I mentioned, our long history working with coffee farmers and their the impacts of climate change for coffee farmers around the world. We built those farmer support centers, 10 of them around the world, with agronomists, with local knowledge, freely sharing knowledge with local farmers. And in doing that, we realized that we needed to try and incent change. And so we've been doing that for 20 years in the coffee industry. We've been providing financial incentives to coffee farms to make changes both from an efficiency point of view, a quality perspective, and sustainability. And so the practice is one that we've got a fairly long history with of success. And it just made sense to parallel that, I think, with the dairy farmers in Canada.
I really love that. And the fact that you're talking about not just the front of the pack, the leaders all the time, but also the people who are actually just getting on the bus and joining, right?
Yeah.
Starting to put the one foot in front of the other and work through the steps of trying to do better sustainability on their farms. What about consumers, Ross? I'm curious what opportunities you see with your consumers at Starbucks and their relationship with sustainability. What does that picture look like?
Well, we heard from one of the speakers at the conference, Diane Brisebois from the Retail Council of Canada, and she spoke quite a bit about the higher expectations of particularly the younger generations, Gen Z, have around sustainability. It's not just sustainability. They have generally higher expectations of the brands that they purchase from. And they've got a growing purchasing power. They are the future market. They're predominantly the market now, but will be continue to be the predominant market. And they're the consumers we all listen to and need to appeal to. I think there's scope to address consumers' expectations around sustainability across almost any product. But for Starbucks, it's particularly acute because it's a younger generation that are our main customers. And we felt the repercussions, particularly with social media and the younger generation, of misinformation and not having the facts about the good work that we're doing. And so we've got to double down. We've got to do even more to get the word out, as under other industries do, to get the facts out about the good work that we're all doing around sustainability, because it matters to consumers. I think I would add that it's not just consumers that where this is coming to a head. Governments are listening to consumers, and they're reacting with regulation. And more we're seeing regulation in the space of sustainability. And those are costs that we're all going to have to bear as producers, and it makes sense to get ahead of that. I just saw recently the Danish government has announced carbon tax on livestock emissions, the first ever. So it's not going away. That is increasing, that burden and cost. And it just makes sense to get on top of it now.
I think we definitely hear on that one. We feel that in our industry, and I think it's for any industry right now, trying to work through all of these changes. When we're talking about misinformation, I just want to pitch you one here and ask you a question, because I feel like for us as dairy producers, there was a little time there, and I've loved our conversation today. I'm feeling super warm in the heart about things Starbucks, but there was a time where we felt a bit as producers that Starbucks had turned away from dairy, that you would walk in the store and everything was oat and everything was plant-based, and we were like, wow, do they not love us anymore? Can you, in speaking to you, I no longer believe this, but I would like you to speak to the topic just so that our listeners can hear kind of what Starbucks's take is on that side of things.
Yeah, we continue to react to consumer demand, and there is consumer demand for alt milk alternatives. So we're addressing that. The message that maybe not should have been shared more loudly at the time is that's not walking away from dairy. It's just there's more effort and innovation going into that alternate space. And so there's more promotion, there's more talk, there's more effort seen on that front. But dairy is inextricably linked with our product and will always be the case. We've got in our espresso beverages, 60% of them contain dairy. And for most of them, it's 50% or more of the volume. We're actually selling milk more than coffee.
That's how I justify it to my husband.
Well, it is, because when I got the latte this morning, you know, it's one of those things that Starbucks, because it's right there in front of you getting made, you see the volume of milk, and that's a really cool thing to be able to see, you know, that product go in. And you do talk about all that consumer trust and demand and all of that, and I think we as dairy farmers feel the very same thing, that when all of a sudden you're like, wait a minute, you're telling a story that isn't the case. We need to be ahead of that as well. And we've learned that lesson, you know, kind of the hard way, unfortunately, too. This is for both of you. And maybe I'll start with you, Julianne, in terms of like crystal balling now is what you get to do. You know, what do you think is, you know, those challenges that both you at Starbucks Canada and we as dairy farmers do need to be aware of? And what kind of things should we be preemptively thinking? You know, sustainability is obviously a big one. But what else should we be working together on to make sure that consumers do continue to trust in both of our brands?
Yeah, so maybe I'll focus a little bit more just on the sustainability piece and the challenges that I see around that. That's a little bit more my area of, I would say I can speak a little bit more confidently to that. So for me, the biggest challenge that I see in terms of both industry and on-farm challenges in sustainability is really the pace of change and the number of different options that are available. I've worked in sustainability for 3 years at Starbucks. And in the time that I've worked in sustainability, you know, there's multiple tools that can be used on farm. There's multiple ways of measuring. There's not a standardized this. There's, you know, regulation is still being developed. It's not necessarily a clear, this is the obvious path forward. So I think from both an industry and an on-farm perspective, it's challenging to figure out what is that right path forward that is going to be the best way. And I think we're still, you know, we partner very closely. We see the work that they're doing to try to figure that out on behalf of Canadian farms to provide that guidance and really to give farmers the ability to not have to worry about it so that they can focus on farm. And when they need to focus on sustainability, you know, outside of the actual actions that they have on farm, that they have the right information and have that trusted relationship.
And if we go broader, Ross, in terms of, you know, the public, you talk about the public policy in other countries, you know, crystal balling, what do we need to work together on and to be able to preemptively kind of make sure that doesn't happen?
Yeah, I think we mentioned trust. I think that continues to be a really important factor that we all need to work on. I think collaboration, more of that. I think the part of our approach and what we like so much about reaching out to the Dairy Farmers of Canada was it was an alignment of interests, and we saw the prospect of collaborating. And I think we need to do more of that, not just between Starbucks and DFC, but more industry players, more stakeholders, just not for sustainability, but generally building trust with consumers. I think that communication and awareness is going to be really key with respect to the trust that our brands have with consumers. I think regulation is going to be an ongoing challenge. And I think addressing regulation on a reactive basis is going to be our challenge. I think collectively, we need to make a better case that if it's not regulation, there's an alternative that's better, and making that case more effectively. But where there is regulation, working together to address it so that we're not each doing our own parts to comply, but actually working together to comply, which would be a more effective way to do it.
Well, I think that's such a great approach, and definitely the benefits will be seen from working in that way.
We're getting close to wrapping up, and I just wanted to give you the opportunity, aside from sustainable dairy, what else is Starbucks doing to help the planet and meet your 2030 goals? Do you want to, are there any other bits that you want to touch on while you have a dairy audience listening?
Well, in the space of dairy, we're working globally. So what we're doing in Canada, we're doing in other countries differently. But we've got a body of work and expertise with a global sustainability team where we can adapt what we've learned in one market and tailor it for another. So there's that's ongoing work. We have about 450,000 farms, just coffee growers. And we've got a huge base of dairy farms now that we're going to be working with. So that's work in the future. But we're also addressing sustainability across our entire carbon footprint. So in 2019, we chose to do a carbon footprint analysis across scope 1, scope 2, and scope 3. And scope 3 means our whole supply chain. So going right back to the farm and taking it all the way to the stores when a consumer walks out the door with one of our products. And all of the emission impact from the entire supply chain. And we're working to address carbon, water, and waste across that whole supply chain, which means a huge amount of collaboration, because scope 1 and scope 2, which exist in our stores and we have control over, we can address on our own. But scope 3, we have to have partnerships with organizations like Dairy Farmers of Canada. So we have a big opportunity and a lot of work to do to build those partnerships to address our whole footprint.
Well, it certainly is, through Dairy Farmers of Canada, look to our sustainability goals and think the same thing, just how big steps we do have to take. It's fascinating to hear about what Starbucks Canada is also doing to reduce your footprint. So, Juliana Ross, thanks for joining the Canadian Podcast.
Our pleasure. Thank you.
Meet a Canadian dairy farmer. Planting one tree, then hundreds more. To naturally purify the air. Preserving wildflowers for pollinators. And nurturing wetlands for healthier soil. So wildlife can prosper.
Biodiversity is in our nature.
Working towards a sustainable future. That's Dairy Farming Forward.
We're in!
And that does it for this episode of the Canadian Podcow. If you liked it, we'd love if you went to your podcast app that you're listening to and give us a rating. 5 stars would be our preference, Sarah.
Yes, 5 lattes.
5 lattes right from Starbucks Canada.
And a big shout out to our production team, of course, to Bruce Sargent and Carl Bellanger, and to our lead sponsor, Dairy Farmers of Canada.
And of course, to you, our listener, thanks for joining us. We've got more from the Dairy Farmers of Canada annual general meeting coming up in the feed soon. So make sure you stay tuned.